Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Anyway, back to what's obsessing us in Ireland at the moment. There have been various anecdotal reports of priests using mass and other religious events to tell the congregation how to vote on the referendum, which isn't entirely surprising, as the church has been entirely consistent in its opposition to abortion, and it's always been that way. Yet there are Irish Catholics who are going to vote yes, or at least conflicted on the issue. Irish Catholics Together for Yes is a Facebook forum with around 800 active followers who discuss the issue. One of the moderators of the page is Elizabeth Horne. Elizabeth describes herself as a Catholic woman from the west of Ireland, and we should point out that she's asked to not use her real name. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
How are you?
Could you start by telling us about Together for Yes and what the function of that was? It wasn't just necessarily set up for the referendum, I assume.
No, the Catholics group, you mean, the Catholics yeah. Together for yeah. Yes group, yeah. So actually it kind of emerged as organic enough group that did start having some conversations back in early 2017, I'm guessing, initially online. And it was in the context of the discussion that was emerging that time around about the issue of a prospective referendum that may be on the horizon at some stage in the following 12 months. And it started off with a small number of people who were Catholic and who were initially having very simple conversations about trying to reconcile, I suppose, the position of Catholicism with the whole issue of the referendum and the Eighth Amendment. And initially there were conversations around what appeared to be that stage, maybe just repealing the Eighth Amendment, and it seemed quite simple because it just looked like it was repealing a piece of legislation. But then I suppose that led on to more complex discussions between that and possible legislation and the substantive issue of abortion. Mm-hmm. The group of people who were together were quite mixed. Some were very devout and practicing fully and fully observant. There were some people who were faithful but not practicing. And then there were others that were a little bit in between. Not quite as observant, perhaps, but still believers.
Yeah.
And I think in the conversations, what people began to express was, I suppose, a certain disappointment that there were not any conversations actually taking place around this issue and religion. That in itself, I suppose, caused a certain dissonance for people who wanted to actually have certainly a theological discussion or an ethical discussion or examine issues around conscience and things like that.
But for the Catholic Church, it's a hard no. It's always been a hard no. So what is there to discuss?
It is. Well, it's a hard no if you're just simply taking a prescribed piece of canon law and looking at it with regard to abortion. So what we did was we looked at three things. We looked at the legal jurisdiction, number one. We looked at aspects of faith and governance, and then we looked at conscience. So the legal jurisdiction was the first thing that we looked at, and we separated out the legal jurisdiction of the church and the legal jurisdiction of the state. And the legal jurisdiction of the state was concerned with the constitution and with legislation, whereas the legal jurisdiction of the church is confined to canon law and it has its own governance. So we viewed them as completely mutually exclusive jurisdictions, and one doesn't impose upon the other. And that makes things quite simple when you start looking at it from that point of view. So you would have had a situation up until 1983 where the state quite happily didn't have an Eighth Amendment in the Constitution. It didn't compromise Catholics in any way. There was no conflict because there wasn't something there. So restoring something to a status that was there, you know, it was totally separate from people who were practicing their faith. And when it did come in and when it didn't, people who are practicing Catholics and believers will observe canon law regardless of what the civil law is.
Yeah. So, yeah. For instance, contraception is legal in this country.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Catholics aren't supposed to use contraception.
And some don't. Yeah. And some will. Or you could take maybe more robust things like vasectomy as well. So if you were to look at what would be categorised within the culture of death, which would be contraception, vasectomy or sterilisation and abortion, there are many people who would not have a vasectomy because it would be in conflict with their personal belief. And there are those that do because they manage to reconcile it. Or take something like sex before marriage, which is entirely legal. But many people would not, if they're observant to their faith, practice it. So separating out the legal jurisdiction is the first thing. The second thing then, I suppose, was looking at what often gets conflated are matters of faith and matters of teaching. So when you look at Catholic faith, it's very simple. It's confined to what's within the four corners of the Nicene Creed. And they're immutable divine messages. And it's quite short and quite simple. And nowhere in that is there anything to do with, for example, the issue of abortion. So you have your faith, which is confined to that declaration within the creed. And then you have all sorts of teaching, which has come down through centuries in the church, which would be a mixture of scripture and tradition, primarily. So that has changed phenomenally over the centuries. It has changed phenomenally with regard to the issue of abortion.
Has it? There was never a time when the Catholic Church was in favour of abortion in any way, shape or form.
So there was never...
For 2,000 years, that's been the position.
For 1,800 of those years. So what you have to ask is, what does it view as abortion? Abortion is viewed as the termination of a pregnancy. And then there were two phases, if you like, to that. One, which would terminate a pregnancy before the coming into being of an individual. And the second was after it. So the issue of when everyone accepted, and for quite some time, that human life begins at conception. But there has never been an agreement as to when a human being comes into being or when personhood.
Ensoulment, as they call
and
it.
And ensoulment would be that part in the Catholic Church. So we still don't have a Catholic definition of when there is ensoulment, because they simply don't know when ensoulment actually takes place.
Yeah, there has formed a hard consensus that it is now life begins at conception.
Yes, life begins at conception, but ensoulment, it is not. There is no categorical, because there is an unknown as to when ensoulment.
But even Elizabeth, when those discussions were taking place about when ensoulment took place, the church was still against abortion. It would excommunicate anybody who had an abortion.
It would. So if you look at over the years, you had St. Jerome, St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, varying discussions about homonization, which really was the coming into being of a human being, and when human life became a person. And that was always interconnected with science at the time. So medical science would have informed it at different stages. So there was a point at one stage where they believed that ensoulment happened in boys at 40 days and at girls at 80 days. And that was really determined by what they thought was the presentation of the genitalia. So that would indicate that personhood had begun. Mm. And as boys would present at 40 days. So there were two distinct differences.
Yeah.
Then there was sort of the alternative theory that emerged, which was three stages of animated ensoulment. So you had a vegetative state, an animal state, and then you had a human state. And that was the one that existed up until 1869. And that was the one that believed that the soul, you only became ensouled at about 24 weeks, at that point of quickening or animation. And therefore, anything that would have aborted terminated a pregnancy up to 24 weeks would be an act of contraception. It was the prevention of the formation of human life, as opposed to homicide. And anything that would take place after that would be homicide. So therein lies all of the varying discussions that over centuries theologians have been exploring and have not come to a consensus. And I mean, in the States in the 70s, these things also came into the Roe v. Wade, various testimonies. And I think even the Samson wouldn't have been able to come to a conclusion on that one. So I think why we have no definitive declaration with regard to ensoulment in Catholicism at the moment at conception is because of the difficulty, for example, with twins or triplets. So if you were to bestow the idea that ensoulment happens at conception and one soul enters it, then you have a problem with the splitting of the fertilized egg into two or three or four identical. So, and that can happen up to 2 weeks after conception. So that's the first slippery slope that emerges. So there is an unknown and undeclared position with regard to ensoulment. So the easiest thing for the church to do is to make a declaration that they condemn abortion globally.
Yes.
So I suppose looking back over those centuries and within the group, all of these discussions emerging and people reading and learning stuff and exploring things they hadn't explored before, that led on to then discussions around conscience and how people would approach forming informing conscience. And it was, I suppose, even those of us who've had a fairly robust Catholic upbringing and education found ourselves wanting somewhat in understanding how you go about it. So we knew what the what is, but we didn't know the how to. When it would come to how do you does one go about informing their conscience, and probably had a very linear view that all you did was took the church doctrine, when in actual fact, when you look into it, you have to take on a lot of other things to inform your conscience. So there would be essentially three strands to informed conscience, and one is taking on board the teaching of the church. Mm. Conscience would also require you to reject the teaching if you did not find it. If you're informing your conscience and something with your conscience does not accept it, then you are obliged to actually reject something, even if it's wrong. And that's where the primacy of conscience outtrumps any of the teaching. The second aspect of, or the second consideration then when informing conscience is lived experience. So any moral dilemma or value that somebody has to make a decision on will be informed sometimes by their personal experience, way of being in the world, or what they have seen or what they have witnessed, whereas and the circumstances of any given time can differ. So there is taking on board the lived experience. And the third then would be the wider social context. And I think that is why through the decades and through the centuries, social context has always influenced even things like discussions around abortion, the value of life, the value of children. I mean, children didn't have a status, very high status or value in society, we'll say, going back a couple of centuries ago. Child mortality was very high, valuing preterm life wasn't something that I value. So those conversations change as our society changes and as we change, and we have to look at these in the wider social context. And then within that, there would have been one time at which Spanish theologians had a position that abortion was justifiable in circumstances where the mother's life, not a physical threat, but where it was a threat to her reputation or to her being, because there would have been a time that being pregnant out of wedlock would have been, you know, quite a serious consequence, that she would have been ostracised, maybe shunned and dispelled. So if her reputation to that extent could be so damaged that she, in fact, would be damaged, then that was a basis or grounds, justifiable grounds for an abortion. Or indeed, if she was pregnant to somebody other than that to whom she was engaged to. So there have been so many theological discussions, so many different positions that have changed. So I think having conversations where people can actually look back at that and understand that there is a distinction between matters of divinity and faith and matters of teaching. There is no infallibility. There's no papal infallibility, for example, with regard to abortion. So no pope has ever spoken infallibly. Pope John Paul II did try at one stage, but he failed. So we haven't had infallible teaching since 1859. There have been none. But
Within all this, though, Elizabeth, it boils back to the fact, though, and most mainstream theologians in Catholicism or indeed in Christianity in general would say, if your conscience is properly informed, you're against abortion. Well, and there isn't a Christian faith that I'm aware of.
Well, that would be a diktat rather than an informed conscience, because
well, you know, they may phrase it in a kind of gloopy way, but that's essentially what it boils down to.
So, well, again, to be for abortion assumes that abortion is one standard thing.
Or if you think abortion can be permitted in circumstances.
We know it can, and we know in this country that it can, and we know in this state that it is. So we know that we do have already negotiated, even socially, grounds on which we permit abortion.
Mm. So, but that's socially, within the confines of the Catholic Church.
Well, no, it's not. Yeah. No, because within the confines of the Catholic Church, if a mother's life is at risk, for example, they accept that as not being an act of homicide.
Because that's double effect.
Defense,
yes. Yeah.
And justifiable defence. So it's more, I suppose, a conversation of people finding a way to ask themselves questions rather than finding answers, because you will have to come to the answer yourself. No person can tell you have an ill-informed conscience if you have taken a process of actually exploring all that needs to be taken on board to make a moral to come to a conclusion on a moral decision, because there are no absolutes. No two circumstances are the same. No two people's circumstances are the same. Whether it's you have to make the decision for yourself or you're looking outwardly.
Could I just ask before we go, are there any priests in the group?
No, there is one that was ordained, but is now, well, not lay, that didn't actually formally be laicized. That's as far as we know, yes.
Elizabeth Horan is a Catholic woman from the west of Ireland and a member of Irish Catholics Together. For
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Yes, we'll take a break, back in a minute.